Hey everybody, we're going to take a look today at the temptation of Jesus as Luke depicts it in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So much is going on in this passage. So much scripture is being evoked, and so many themes are being drawn together. First, we should note just temptation in general. There are three sort of explicit, deliberate temptations by Satan in Scripture. The first is of Adam and Eve in the garden. The next is of Job. And then finally, we have Jesus. So we should pay attention to those stories and what they might have to say about this story as well. And probably the most important is that there's definitely an Adam theme going on here. Jesus is the new Adam. So just as Adam was breathed on by the breath of God or the Spirit to become a living soul and was given a helper that was supposed to be suitable for him, he faces temptation and, of course, he fails. He fails to follow in the path that God had for him. In the same way, Jesus, who is the new Adam, the second Adam, the Adam who will undo what the first Adam failed in, he receives the Spirit of God at the waters of baptism. He goes with this helper, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness where Adam was exiled to face the temptations that Adam faced, and he wins in those temptations. Again, just as Adam tried to shortcut the path to maturity, right? God intended for him one day to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He intended for him one day to have great authority, but he had to go by the path of trusting and obeying God. Just as Adam shortcut that, Jesus refuses the temptation to shortcut that. I would say the general nature of all of Satan's temptations here are to avoid the path of humbleness, obedience, suffering, in order to come into his glory. Jesus first had to undergo these sufferings before he went into his glory. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. Obviously, the temptation opens up this cosmic battle that began in Genesis, which this battle, this holy war, if you will, is one of the major themes of Scripture, that the seed of the woman is pitted against the brood of the serpent, and one day the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And of course, Jesus is that seed. Satan, we should note, means accuser, somebody who accuses someone before God, or adversary, an enemy. And we should see this temptation here, and even Jesus' whole course of his life, as him willingly going to the contest between himself as the seed of the woman, as the Son of God, and the enemy, the accuser, in the form of Satan in this case. There's also another theme that we see all through this temptation is related to Moses and Elijah. So consider some of the ways in which Jesus' temptation is fulfilled in patterns that were in their lives. Both Moses and Elijah fasted for 40 days before they met with God. Both are miraculously fed, in the case of Moses, by manna from heaven, in the case of Elijah, by an angel bringing him this bread baked on stones. And both face the rebellion of the people of God, in the case of Moses worshiping the golden calf, in the case of Elijah, Israel worshiping the Baals. And so Jesus is drawing together those themes, and again, he is the one fulfilling them, his fasting 40 days, his being miraculously fed, or being miraculously sustained, and then, of course, facing down this rebellion. It's also worth commenting on the nature and the order of the temptations. And the order of the temptations is important because Luke puts them in a different order than Matthew does in order to make a particular point. The order that Luke puts them in is worth noting. First, Jesus is in the wilderness. Then he's taken up into a high place to be shown all the kingdoms of the world. And finally, he's taken to the temple. Well, that maps on to Israel's history as a people. They are delivered from slavery into the wilderness, where they are tempted, where they grumble about food. They are, as it were, taken up onto a high mountain where, while Moses is cutting the covenant, they commit idolatry by worshiping the golden calf. And then they are brought into the promised land, where they build the temple and wind up thinking that they can trust the temple rather than trusting and obeying God. So Luke is mapping out the history of the people of God, and again, showing how Jesus is going to fulfill the history rather than failing in that history as Israel did. But then the nature of the individual temptations. The first temptation to eat bread, it seems to be tied with the lust of the flesh or the delight of the flesh, right? The fulfillment of fleshly needs and desires. Again, Israel gave in to their craving for bread in the wilderness rather than trusting God to provide. And of course, Jesus refuses to give in to that temptation. The next temptation seems to have to do with boasting, right? Satan says that he will give Jesus all these kingdoms if he will bow down and worship him. This is sort of mapped onto boasting, the desire to defend oneself or prove oneself. And then finally, ambition. The final temptation is for Jesus to do this great spectacular miracle that will build him a following, that will get people to follow him because of the spectacular nature of that miracle. And again, that is tied with testing. And again, I want to say this again, all of these, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are all connected to ways in which Jesus is tempted to shortcut the path of humbling and service and obedience and suffering before he enters into his glory. Notice too, commentators have always pointed out that Jesus uses scripture to resist the enemy. And this is important in several ways. First, the scriptures he used all come from Israel's time in the wilderness. But second, it's worth noting that the devil uses scripture. The devil quotes scripture. And I think that's significant because we are often tempted to have wrong thoughts of God based on scriptural passages. And Jesus shows that you can use scripture wrongly, that indeed the devil can use scripture to his own ends. And so it's an encouragement for us to learn from him how to use scripture well and rightly in order to resist temptation. And then finally, I would note that one of the major themes here that Satan is contesting is Jesus' identity as the Son of God. We know he's the Son of God from the testimony of scripture, and that by being the Son, he's committed to carrying out the Father's purposes in the Father's ways. And Satan wants to thwart that. He wants to hinder that. He wants to get Jesus to short-circuit that process and take a different route than the Father has for him. Of course, he does not give in to that temptation. He does not give in to the temptation to prove that he is indeed the Son of God by doing what Satan calls him to do. And I think most importantly, his victory in resisting temptation makes him, as the second Adam, as the reversal of the first Adam, makes him, first of all, he was tempted in every way as we are, so he can relate to us. But second of all, he can help those who are being tempted because he knows our weakness, our frailty, and he has fully entered into the human condition and fully taken it to himself. So I think this puts a wonderful emphasis on the way in which Jesus wants to help us through his own humility as someone who's been tempted, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we ourselves give ourselves to various means of training to resist temptation. And again, it underlies that the Christian life is not one of ease, but it is one in which, because the Father loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit, because we're still alive, we know we're going to face temptation. We know that we're going to face temptation to get off the path of the cross. So may we know the help of the humble but the exalted Jesus, who knows what it is like to be tempted as we are. May we know his help through the power of the Holy Spirit to be a people who follow him in his path. And may we know his forgiveness and repentance if indeed we fail along that path. Amen.